This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another weekly edition of the Quick Hits. My name is DeAndre Koch. For those new to this show, this is our weekly shorter form content and updates in the world of travel and points and miles. Last week, I had recorded that quick hit from the Park Hire Beaver Creek, which was a fantastic place. We will be doing a longer format YouTube video of my experience there with video, drone footage, a lot of other things, which will be great. That was a fantastic trip. Unfortunately, the flight back or the trip back was not as enjoyable. The very small airport out of Vail, which is only about five gates, beautiful airport, but very small, no larger than probably a Walmart, if that. It's actually probably smaller than a Walmart. The pilot basically came out for our 2:30 flight after us waiting through a 30-minute delay and said, "This plane is broken. It will not fly. I don't know how they're even going to get it out of here to get it fixed," which is never anything that you want to hear pilots say. So there was a decent amount of chaos trying to figure out what was going to happen. Eventually, American Airlines said that they're going to actually be able to get us to DFW, which was our connecting flight, by way of the last flight in for the night, which was supposed to have the plane stay in Vail. They actually brought a flight crew on that plane to be able to fly us back to Dallas. So my whole point of mentioning this to you is there is a reel that we posted on Instagram as a travel tip that I wanted to share to all of you, because I know not all of you are on Instagram, although we wish that if you are on Instagram that you are following us. But I did a reel that talked about how you can use those travel vouchers that airlines give you in times like this. So ideally, if you're flying and traveling, your flights are booked using credit cards that have automatic trip insurance with them, or possibly that you've bought trip insurance for that flight in general. If so, you should have food and other reasonable costs covered through the trip insurance. The reason why that's important is because you're going to, in situations like this, the airline is often going to give you travel food vouchers that are worth about $12 per person. And as I'm sure you know, that doesn't get you very far when it comes to airport food, especially in this airport that we were on. And I'm not kidding, the taxes, the state and local taxes on food were absolutely absurd. So for a $12 pizza, the taxes on it were $12 or $13 on its own, which is astronomical. So what should you do in this case? Well, here's what I do. In cases like this where I know that I'm going to get food reasonably reimbursed, that means I can have a $20, $30, $40 meal. I can have food. I can have a drink at the bar. And that's going to reasonably be covered by my travel insurance. Most of my flights I book with either the Chase Business Preferred card or the Chase Sapphire Reserve. So I know I'm going to have pretty much the best credit card insurance out there. I think Amex's insurance is decent, but it's capped at a value of $500 per incident. And even if you have the Platinum or even the Black Centurion card. And so I don't find it as valuable and helpful as Chase's travel insurance is. So since I know that I'm going to get my food reimbursed through the trip insurance, what I actually do is the travel vouchers, if you ever noticed, it's a straight credit card number, expiration date, zip code, CCV, or not CCV, whatever the security code is, all of that is printed to you and you have one day to use it. Well, you can load that voucher onto your Dunkin' app, your Chick-fil-A app, your Starbucks app. Starbucks is going to require you to use an address, so you can Google search the Starbucks address for that. It's someplace in Illinois. But regardless, you can load that voucher onto a card or, again, like a Chick-fil-A account to use at a different time, and then go spend your $30 for a well-deserved, stressful airport occurrence meal and get that reimbursed to you at a later time. So that's just a little trick there that can help you next time you have a travel delay that is super inconvenient. And yes, you can use the food voucher if you don't want to deal with the insurance process because you need to save the receipts. You have to get a report from the airline, all these different things. But that's something that I like to do because I would rather get a $30 or $40 meal reimbursed and then try to figure out how to cover myself with a $12 travel voucher. So the follow-up to all of that is that we got to Dallas-Fort Worth around midnight. My flight going back home from Dallas left at 7 or 8 p.m., so no way I was making that connection. And again, American was saying, hey, here is your free hotel. We'll cover your hotel night. Literally the first of the three or four hotel options they gave us was a Motel 6, which is not a place that I would like to have stayed. And then there were other places that I think were 30, 40 minutes away. But there's two Hyatts at DFW. There's the Grand Hyatt, which is actually on the rail stop. And there's a Hyatt Regency, which is a 3-minute shuttle or a roughly 5 or 7 minute walk out of the C terminal from DFW. And so again, insurance, trip insurance, this is why it matters. And having a good travel car is beneficial because easily I booked the Hyatt stay at the Hyatt Regency. Yes, it was around $400 per night. There was an option I could have used points for only 15,000 points as well if I didn't want to even deal with the travel insurance. But $400 for the night, and being the globalist, got upgraded to a ridiculously huge suite, which was nice because what I ended up doing is I had client meetings on the financial planning side all day Thursday and actually worked from my very large suite all day. And with the globalist late checkout, 4 p.m., was able to basically work all day and then caught a 7 p.m. flight out of Dallas. So instead of taking a flight in the middle of the day, getting home and kind of ruining my work day and client meetings, I was able to get a full day of work in, check out, go hang out in the Centurion Lounge, get some more work done, and then fly out. And thankfully, our flight was only delayed by like 20 minutes leaving DFW. And so was able to get home Thursday night and only missed a day of being home, but did not miss a day at work. So I say all this to say strategy is very important when it comes to travel. And while I often talk about all the great things that happen from a travel standpoint, I think it's important for you guys to know that sometimes you have to pivot when it comes to travel. Not everything is perfect, but if you're able to easily adapt, then that can make traveling easier. Obviously, I know it is much different with me. In this case, I was traveling solo. Taryn didn't go with me with this trip, but it is easier than with, you know, family of four or five with children. But being able to adapt and just knowing what your options are and game playing accordingly can significantly change the stress level for you from a travel standpoint. So speaking of Hyatt, while the time that this goes live, this giveaway will have already expired, I wanted to encourage all of you, if you're not already subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, I highly encourage you to do so. This past week, we did a giveaway for a Hyatt free night certificate that's only available to those who subscribe to our newsletter. So if you subscribed, you got the email, and you were able to even add on an additional preferred club access award if you won as well. And so we'll be doing another much larger giveaway here in the near future. So if you're not already subscribed to our newsletter, I highly encourage you to do so. The link to that is in the show notes. We do have other giveaways that will come throughout the year as well. We appreciate the following and our listeners and want to be able to give back to you as well. So please, I highly recommend if you haven't already subscribed to our newsletter, please do so. And you might find yourself in luck of receiving a really cool giveaway in the future the next time we do one. So now on to the largest points and miles news that has come out within the last week or so. The biggest announcement I'm sure you have heard is that there is now a 100,000 sign-up bonus for the Chase Sapphire Preferred if you spend $5,000 on purchases in the first 3 months from account opening. This is arguably the largest sign-up bonus that we've seen on this card in years. I don't think it's ever been above 100,000. It's definitely been much less than 100,000. And so this is the right time absolutely to take advantage of that with the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Interestingly enough, the Chase Sapphire Reserve is a 60,000 sign-up bonus after spending 5K right now as well, where it has been a 60,000 bonus for spending 4,000. So now with a Sapphire Reserve, not a really great time to get it because it's going to take you an extra $1,000 of spend to get the same amount of sign-up bonus with the Sapphire Reserve. But again, going back to the Sapphire Preferred, huge sign-up bonus opportunity with this card. And this is also a great time if you've had the Sapphire Preferred or Reserve for more than 4 years or more, I should say, you are eligible to get this sign-up bonus again. You could go ahead, if you've had the Sapphire Reserve or Preferred, downgrade to one of their no-fee cards like the Chase Freedom Unlimited or Chase Freedom Flex, and then reapply. I would recommend that you wait at least a week or so after downgrading before reapplying to reapply for the Sapphire Preferred with the 100,000 point bonus. So this is a very easy way you can go ahead and get this huge 100,000 point signup bonus. Now, one other thing I do want to be clear on, though, is you still have to be within the Chase 524 rule. So if you're over 524, meaning that you, or if you're at or over, so you've had five personal cards or cards that show up in your credit report, like some Capital One business cards do, in the last 24 months, you're likely not going to get approved for a new card. So if you're at 424, 324, anything less, then the downgrade can be beneficial and the reapply. But if you are at 524 or more, likely, if you downgrade the card, you may not get approved for the new one. Now, that being said, if that were to happen, there is a chance you likely can get the downgraded card re-upgraded again in case they don't approve you and you still want to keep your benefits and all those different things. The reason why you don't want to cancel the card outright is you don't want to lose any of the points that you may have sitting on that account. Even if you downgrade it to a Freedom card that's a cash back card, the points turn into cash back, just as the cash back can turn back into points. So just something to keep in mind there. And the other piece with that as well is that when you do a product change, like I said, not only will that preserve your points, but I think it's also important to mention that it will preserve your credit line. So if you have a $10,000 or $20,000 credit line or line of credit with that card, that will also be preserved, which is important because you don't want to go around canceling cards and limiting your average age of credit history, removing your credit line, those type of things. It's okay to have a lot of credit out there. It's not okay to have a lot of debt that's not being paid off, as we talk about often with this show. Again, financial responsibility, being responsible with your money, with debt, with how you're utilizing credit cards is extremely, extremely important. So always be responsible, but it is okay to have open lines of credit. It's just not okay to have a ton of debt. And one thing I want to mention is that when this offer first came out last week, you could only really get it directly through Chase or affiliate links, but the referral codes are now active. So if you do have the Chase Sapphire card yourself, want to refer your P2 to it, your referral code should now work for this elevated 100,000 point offer. If you don't have anyone that's your P2 or that already has it and you want to use this offer, we've updated our best offers page as we always do. And our website, there's actually a banner with the link to get the 100,000 point offer as well. So we'd love if you consider using our link as well, as it helps support the show and the travels that we do. But regardless, this is a great opportunity to take advantage of a very, very rare offer with the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Still in the realm of talking through some updates with Chase. So Chase and Lyft actually renewed their partnership, allowing those with the Sapphire Reserve, a Sapphire Preferred, and those with the Freedom cards to still earn elevated points on Lyft rides. And this is now extended through September 30th of 2027. So what's interesting, and I'm kind of excited about this, with the Sapphire Reserve, they've reduced the points earned from 10x to 5x on Lyft rides, but we do get a new $10 monthly in-app Lyft credit. So similar to how on Uber, with the Platinum card, you got a $15 monthly credit for Uber. Now we're going to get a $10 monthly in-app Lyft credit, which is great. I don't use rideshare a ton where I live. However, it is nice. I do go back and forth between whether I'm going to use Lyft or Uber. Typically, I use Uber first to get that credit out the way, and then I use the Lyft to get the maximum points. But now with the dollar credit attached with the 5x points, that's going to be beneficial. The Sapphire Preferred is going to be the same 5x points, no monthly credit at all. And then all the Freedom cards, they reduced the cash back on that down from 5%. It's now 2% cash back. So a little bit of a change with the Chase and Lyft partnership, but it is nice. If you do have the Chase Sapphire Reserve, start looking out for these monthly Lyft credits that you'll be able to use every single month, but also a reduction from 10x in points down to 5x from using the Lyft. There's a slew of transfer bonuses that are active right now. This one's going to end the day after this airs, but the City Thank You Rewards has a 25% transfer bonus to Avianca Life Miles. Chase does have an 80% transfer bonus to IHG. While that can sound amazing, an 80% transfer bonus, I would not recommend using your Chase points and transferring to IHG. Even with the transfer bonus, the value of your Chase points, even when redeemed through the Chase portal, is still higher. Obviously, we talk all the time about not redeeming through the portal, transferring directly to airlines and such to get more than 2 cents of value for your point. If you redeem through the portal, you're likely to get 1.25 or 1.5 if you have the Chase Sapphire Reserve. But even with the transfer bonus, your Chase points when transferred to IHG are less than 1.1 cents of value, essentially. And so you can get so much more value from your Chase points than transferring them to IHG. And that's on average. Now, if you find that you have a very specific redemption, you're just a few IHG points shy of, or something along those lines, or again, if it just makes sense to you, it's just easy and you want to do it, go ahead. Again, in the points and miles world, you can do this in so many different ways. I just encourage you from a mathematical standpoint, no, although that 80% transfer bonus seems high and great, that technically your Chase points are much more valuable than moving them over to IHG. And this transfer bonus ends at the end of the month. Actually, all three of these transfer bonuses I'm about to mention end on April 30th. The next one being Amex Membership Rewards, 20% transfer bonus to Aeromexico Club Premier. This is pretty interesting because Aeromexico has a 1-to-1.6 ratio in general. So meaning if you transfer 1,000 Amex points, you get 1,600 Aeromexico Club Premier points. But with this transfer bonus, it goes from 1 to 1.92. So 1,000 Amex points would get you 1,920 Aeromexico Club Premier points. This is great if you have travel around Central America. We actually did Aeromexico redemption for the first time ever on our trip to Mexico City. We flew from Tulum to Mexico City using our Amex points we transferred to Club Premier. So if you do have a trip down south, maybe something to take a look at. I will mention that if you do this, just know the Aeromexico website online, especially for awards booking, is not the easiest to use, especially because a lot of it was in Spanish. I do speak fluent Spanish, and so I was able to navigate it pretty well, although I don't talk points and miles in Spanish very often. You can use Google Translate or just use a translate in your browser, to make it easier, but just something to know, it's not as easier streamlined as using like a KLM or Aeroplan with Air Canada and such. And the last Amex transfer right now is there's up to a 20% transfer bonus to Etihad guests. That has to be targeted. I believe you can get 10% that's not targeted, up to 20% for those who are targeted. I honestly would not highly recommend that you do transfer from Amex to Etihad just because Etihad has very, very strict and kind of ridiculous transfer rules as far as how long your points are good for. If you have to cancel, there's almost no flexibility that doesn't involve losing a bunch or all of your points. But if you knew you had a flight that you were wanting to take almost the next day for Etihad that you knew you weren't going to miss, it could be a great redemption there. And another piece of news I think is really interesting. So Google Flights is a staple in the travel world, whether you're flying with points and miles. If you are, you should have the points path plugin added in because it makes flying domestically, especially on points and miles, even easier. But Google Flights is a staple when looking for travel. I use it on the regular. They do have flight alerts, so you can see if your price in flight has gone down. I've used that not as much as I should be, but I do use that. If I have a flight I feel like is a little bit on the expensive side, I will book it and then I will track my flight through Google Flights to get alerted if the price has gone down. And if so, I will rebook that same flight, meaning I'll cancel and rebook, get a flight credit back, and save money on that flight. Well, what's really interesting is that they're rolling out right now a Google Hotel price alerts. And so that's going to give you a heads up when prices for accommodations in your destinations are going up or down, which could allow you to rebook for cheaper or know that it's getting more expensive and that you want to lock it in sooner rather than later. So I think what we'll see here is that Google Hotels is going to be as pivotal as Google Flights when it comes to booking travel that's not on point specifically, that, you know, whether it's a work trip or a personal travel that you went through a regular booking for, you can always book a property and then just monitor it to see if it becomes cheaper. And if it becomes cheaper, as long as the cancellation rules with that property, which is going to vary, obviously, you can meet without losing money. You could always cancel that booking and rebook for ideally a full refund, but getting a cheaper rebooked stay. And to finally wrap up this one, and this was a little bit of a longer quick hits, but we had a great question from Andrew, who shot me a DM on Instagram last week. And it was a really interesting question that I thought would be unique to be able to answer on air. I've already answered this to him as well directly when it came to his booking, but I think this would be helpful for all of you. This is a little bit more of a higher level or higher tier points and miles strategy, not necessarily for beginners, but I think if you're in the world of booking and looking at flights, this is something that you may not know is even possible. So here's his question. He says, "Hey DeAndre, I have a quick question about adding a segment to an Aeroplan award, sort of like the opposite of a stopover. For a trip this summer, I booked 3 business class seats using Aeroplan points, which was 85,000 per person for the flexible fare from Dulles to Munich to Geneva. I live in St. Louis and I'm totally fine booking a separate positioning flight to Reagan or Dulles, but I was wondering if there's a way for me to monitor saver level award space from St. Louis to Dulles using seats.aero so I could potentially add that segment to our existing Aeroplan ticket for no extra points. I wasn't sure if Aeroplan's recent changes made this kind of thing more difficult, but figured it was worth asking." And so my response to him was that yes, you can monitor that saver space from St. Louis to Dulles using seats.aero and potentially add that segment to your Aeroplan booking without extra points. And that's especially because he did book the flexible fare. So just make sure that you're looking for United Saver space, which is the economy X class, which is what Aeroplan can book. Once you see that space open up, you can call the Aeroplan and ask to add St. Louis as your new origin. Since it's a short hop and still in the same award zone and distance band, the points should stay the same. You just might have to pay a little bit more in taxes, and there shouldn't be any change fees since he booked flexible. And also, after adding the segment, it might be possible to reprice the lower saver award and possibly get some points back. So my caveat to that is that the recent changes may possibly impact this, but I don't think so. This is technically how everything should fit into their rules, but obviously you could call in and get someone on the phone that has no idea what they're doing, as it's probably not requested that often. So you might have to get requests to talk to someone that does know what they're doing, or hang up and call again. That's the HUCA, H-U-C-A approach, hang up and call again. And so he ended up shooting me a screenshot, and I confirmed that yes, that is the saver space on your flight, and it should not be extra points. It should just be some extra taxes involved as well. So always try to provide as much feedback and help as possible to our listeners. We appreciate the journey that you guys are all on with us. This was a little bit of a longer quick hits, but there was a lot of news to update you on in the world of points and miles. I hope all of you have had a fantastic week, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.